Hello?
Yes. Sherry, are you there?
Okay, I was muted. Sorry. Am I back? Yes?
Yeah, you're here.
So just piggybacking on to some of the things that Wendy said, which is not my comments, but because Wendy spoke about it, people who donate to the individual stations, listeners donate because they think they're giving to the station. And if money is raised and then used other things, then I think honesty with the listeners, they may want to give and they may not. But people at KPFA will be upset also if all of their money is used to pay off expenses incurred at other stations. I'm wondering when we are going to get or when you can deliver to us a cash flow. And I know you mentioned it briefly, but we still haven't seen it, and I'm wondering when that's going to be ready to run.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a cash flow. We got our first national cash flow, consolidated cash flow back in, I'm sure it was like June, July.
I didn't notice in any of those who we've been paying out money to and exactly how much.
We have sent out our detail for national office, which is down to the very detail and to the individual. We've sent that out over the last 2 months. You haven't received that?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's sent out from the finance committee and to the PNB. I'll get with Jamie and we'll both make sure that specifically that you get it. Yeah, we've sent this out and that's the thing is when you send that out, it's not a summary, it's detail.
Yeah, we did get a document like that on the for NFC a couple calls ago.
We are in time, folks.
Could the board get
I can resend that, Sherry.
Okay, thanks, Jamie. Maybe you should send it to the board.
Okay, okay.
That'll be great. Thanks.
Thanks, Jamie.
We're at time now for this agenda item. It's already 1 hour and 22 minutes into this meeting.
Point of information, how many people are left on the stack?
There are two more people left on the stack.
I move to extend to let the two people remaining who have financial questions have their questions.
All right. Can we limit that to 4 minutes then?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. All right. Is there any objection to allowing the two remaining people on the stack, Rico and Nia, to have 4 minutes? Hearing none. Rico?
Thank you. And thank you, Sherry. Firstly, I'd like to say that I'd like to commend the stations for the painful cuts that we've made so far. I don't know if it's wise for us to risk dying from 1,000 cuts. I really think that it is imperative that we take more action to increase our listener base, all of these stations, because that's where our funds come from. Whatever happened to creating a sister station with the Latino listeners? I know we were talking about doing that because we have this digital capability now. Have we done analysis on what our listeners really want? In respect to what we're airing. And lastly, I think we need to put more effort into getting our name out. I mean, I'm still running into people every day that don't know what KPFK is, don't really know what we are. And we could be doing, some cheap advertising like bus benches and putting on events that attract young people, et cetera, and really get our name out there because we have to increase that base instead of all the time thinking about cuts. And as the PNB is where the buck stops, I really question whether we're doing enough in that respect, with all these committees that we have. Why haven't we set up a committee to really study the effects of how to effectively increase our listening base?
Thanks very much for your comments, Rico. Next on is Nia on the stack.
Okay, thanks. LeVar, you said there was over $600,000 in invoices to be billed, not from the summer drive, but from before. So I'm wondering, why weren't all the invoices sent out during the May drive? Why were there carryovers from that?
Well, let me explain the process. Thanks. That's a very good question, though. It's from the summer. It's like the second billing from the summer drive and then billings from the prior drive. And what happens is that during the year is that when you have these fund drives and the funds have not come in, you know, you have credit cards and other. And when your other fulfillment is like 50%, that means like 50% of the other that's non-credit card still needs to come in. And the way you get people to pay their bills is to send out invoices. So that's the way that works. And as far as the, can I just mention on the Rico had talked about, you know, why don't we have these committees? See, your CABs can help you do these things. The community needs assessment, you know, can look at those types of fundraising activities to get the information out to your various communities. And that's why the CAB is very important, and we should be able to use that. And can I just say that at WBAI, since you're on a live stream, we're having a fundraiser on Wednesday night at the Society for Ethical Culture. It will be the an honorary for gathering for Jordan, Caldwell, and Hamilton. It's not a law firm, although they're at 120 Wall Street. They're programmers on WBAI. And that's this Wednesday, Society for Ethical Culture here in New York City. So everyone up and down the East Coast, anyone in the city, please be there.
Okay, thank you. We're now out of time for this agenda.
My question was twofold.
There's one last question.
My question is, when will the local finance committee see a copy of the budget for it to come to the local station board and then to the Pacifica National Board? I think on the last call, LeBron told me I would have it in 2 days, and I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, you know, it's like, you know, every time we're promising, but last week, it was a little challenging, but again, as I said, I have a person in now who is like a director of finance at his company. You guys know Bertolt Reimers. He's agreed to come in and help us, and that he is working with me, and also Andrew, we've had the discussions. So, you know, where it goes first, you know, we're having a meeting on Tuesday with the Finance Committee. So I apologize, but I would like to share it with them. I can share it with you at the same, or with the, get copies of it to the LSB at the same time for you to review. So Jamie and I can work out, because Jamie's on your LSB, we can work out the timing, and then we'll get that done. But now I have someone to help me get that done. And, it was a little hectic. We had the big Labor Day parade on Monday, which was very successful. It was Carrot Live, but I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay.
Jamie and I will work out the time.
Thank you all very much. We're going to move on.
Ready?
Hello,
ready?
Yes?
Is the Vaughn Center the local finance committee meeting on Tuesday? Well, there was no notice of that. When did that get noticed?
No, I said there's a National Finance Committee meeting. I didn't say there was a local finance committee.
You know, Jamie, let me ask a question here. Jamie, I just looked at the KPFTX website, and there's no notice. And I looked through the National Finance Committee last couple of postings. We are having a meeting Tuesday night. Is that correct?
Well, we have a meeting scheduled.
But can you post it, please?
It is posted.
No, I don't see it on the KPFTX calendar.
Well, I posted
it. Great, it's the local finance committee, she said. So
I did not say the local finance committee. I said the national finance committee.
But I asked about the local finance committee. When is that going to go to the local finance committee?
Did I give you an answer? I said that we will. I didn't give you a date for the local finance committee. I said that Jamie and I will work that out. Jamie is on the local finance committee, aren't you, Jamie?
Yes.
So we'll work that out, and we will let you know.
Ooh.
But I will have a preliminary for Tuesday. So Jamie and I will work out getting that copy to the local finance committee, if that is okay. So to review as a preview.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Now we're going to go on to the next thing on the agenda, which I'm not sure if Les Radke is on this call. Les, are you here? I don't think Les is here. So, Ifia, in one of those emails I sent you, there's Les's phone number.
I'll try it.
Okay, great. And then we'll go on to the next agenda item, and when, if and when Les can get on the call, we'll interrupt everything and take his report. So next thing is I want to recognize Ricardo, and we're going to take up arbitration agreements for directors, delegates, and all new management hires. Ricardo, would you like to speak to this?
Hi, Grace.
Hi, Ricardo.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Grace and I have been discussing the possible use of arbitration agreements to cut back on our litigation expenses. They're out of the question as far as members of our collective bargaining agreement because they're ruled by the collective bargaining agreement. However, we know that we're going to be having a number of new hires. We could ask our new hires, at the very least, to enter into arbitration agreement. My thought on doing so is that just a naked arbitration agreement by itself could be interpreted as being unfair. However, if an arbitration agreement that's part of an employment contract, I think could very well be a reasonable way of obtaining arbitration agreements from new hires as well as current hires. We could enter into employment contracts. Those can be easily drafted based on people's job descriptions with provisions that people would not be, for example, would you consider having provisions saying that people could not be dismissed except for cause, which I have no problem with whatsoever, and then have an arbitration agreement made a part thereof. What an arbitration agreement means is that if there's any dispute involving employment, then instead of going to court, the employee is beforehand to take the matter before an arbitrator. Now, that does not mean that there's no attorney.
Are you on a cell phone? It's kind of going in and out, and it's really tinny.
Let me move to another area.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It's just really, really hard to pick out the words.
Okay. Let me move outside. I am on a cell phone. I'm inside a building. So let me move outside, and I'll continue talking as I move. So my suggestion is that you all consider entering into employment contracts with our employees, with our management employees, non-collective bargaining unit employees, and make arbitration agreements a part of that.
Okay,
if our employees have, yes?
You know, Ricardo, that's actually worse.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I'm just getting outside now. Is this any better?
Yeah, it might be a little better. Keep talking, and we'll let you know.
Okay. So, an arbitration agreement calls for the use of an arbitrator instead of a judge. What that means is that the disputes are handled more speedily, and I would say at a cost of about a third of what it would cost to use the courts, if not less. Now, that's as to our employees. We have an issue involving with our insurance carrier involving board members filing lawsuits against the foundation. I've been in touch with our insurance broker. Our insurance policy is coming up for renewal, and that's an issue with them. The way the insurance carrier sees it, it's much like an insured having his car stolen so that he could claim reimbursement. when our board members sue the board. So my suggestion is a way of waylaying this concern is to ask board members to agree to arbitration agreements. That would mean that if a board member has a concern about, for example, an election issue, instead of going to court, they would go to the arbitration association. An arbitrator would be appointed that has some expertise in the area, and the dispute would be settled by an arbitrator instead of going to court.
Great idea.
Those are the issues that, at this point, I'm just laying on the table for the board to consider and you know, discuss as they may seem fit. And then based on further instructions, we can take action on it.
Okay. Thank you, Ricardo. The first thing we'll do is open up the floor to questions, and then we can open it up to discussions. Can I please finish what I'm saying? First questions, then discussion, and then if anyone has a motion that they wish to bring forward. So the first questions for Ricardo.
George, please.
Sean on the stack.
And Leslie.
Nia after George. I said that.
Rico on the stack.
Okay.
Bonnie.
Okay. George first.
Yeah. As far as the arbitration for new hires, it sounds like we can, the PMB can just do that if we want to. As far as arbitration for members of the PMB, would that be something that would be an individual decision whether they wanted to sign it, or could we actually, if we took a vote on that, could we then compel everybody who, whether you voted for it or against it, to actually accept that as a condition for serving on the board?
Again, outside of the bargaining unit members, the board can make it a requirement of their continued employment. Now, that's why I suggested that you all consider making it part of an employment contract. So it's not just a bitter pill that they're taking, but they are getting some form of protection. Under California law, as you all well know, there's employment at will. For all practical purposes, people at Pacifica do not get terminated just simply for some whim. There's always a reason for it, whether people may agree with the reason or not, but there's a reason for people being terminated. So I don't see that we're giving much up as an employer if we give employees that security that they won't be terminated except for cause. If we do it in that way, then we're dealing with them on an arm's length, in an arm's length way, and I think that's fair.
Ricardo,
that wasn't my question.
George had a question that had to do with the board signing such an agreement. Can you reiterate the question, George?
The question was, if we want the board, members of the board, would that be an individual decision, or could the board vote that we would all have to sign that if we wanted to continue to participate as members of the board?
No, that's totally an individual position, because this is, you know, serving on the board, a requirement for serving on the board is not that you enter into an arbitration agreement. So the board, according to our bylaws, I don't see that the board can create a rule without actually having to amend the bylaws. So at this point, my advice is that it would have to be done voluntarily. Now,
okay.
The main advantage of this is we can go to our insurance carrier and say our board members have agreed to arbitration.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Next is Sean.
Yeah, a couple of things, Ricardo. One, and I'm a staff rep, so I'm going to get hit with some of these questions. If you sign a collective bargaining, you are foregoing any right to take anything to court, correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question. Could you speak louder?
Yeah, no problem. If you sign an arbitration agreement, you are explicitly saying you're going to forego any right to take anything to court, correct?
That's right.
Okay, now, you said that this doesn't apply to the collective bargaining agreement, workers that are covered or employees that are covered by the collective bargaining agreement, and that this would apply to new hires. Maybe I don't understand the process right, but wouldn't some of those new hires be covered under the collective bargaining agreement? Or do they have to agree to be in the union first?
I'm sorry for the confusion. What I'm saying is that anyone who is either a member of the collective bargaining unit or is eligible to be a member, if he's hired, cannot be a part of this group that I'm suggesting can have an arbitration agreement.
I got you. So
within the group that can have it, that we can require that they enter into an arbitration agreement, which is our non-bargaining unit members, there's two categories. Those that we're about to hire, because we are going to have a significant number of new hires, and those that exist today.
And you may not know this, and I don't, and I'm going to check it out. What is the what's the distinction between being a covered by the, I mean, being in the union and not being in the union in terms of people we hire?
Well, the collective bargaining agreement has the terms and conditions for the employment of their members, and at least the current collective bargaining agreements do not have arbitration agreements as part of those conditions. So we're bound by that collective bargaining agreement. I suppose we could make it part of our negotiations, but that's another issue.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
next,
go ahead.
Next person in the chat
to get in
is Leslie. Hi, Ricardo.
Hi, Leslie.
There's a lot of noise on the line.
02.
Please mute if you are in a noisy area. Leslie, we can hardly hear you.
Okay.
Can you improve the sound quality somehow?
Not really. I'm practically shouting here. My neighbors are all listening.
Okay.
I was going to ask Ricardo if he's familiar with the Public Citizen Group's report on arbitration. And let me quote a couple of things here. First of all, regarding fees, it says, in most consumer and employment disputes, the high fees associated with mandatory arbitration make it impossible for consumers and employees to vindicate their rights. Most arbitration providers require hundreds of dollars in filing fees and thousands more to be advanced for the arbitrator's daily or hourly fees. Consumers, particularly those who have just suffered a financial loss, are generally unable to pay these fees and therefore precluded from any remedy. Similarly, high fees may preclude workers, et cetera. They also point out that arbitrators are not legally accountable for errors they make, and they provide evidence of corporate bias for arbitration. And I was just wondering if you've looked at this and if you have any response to it. You can Google it at Public Citizen Arbitration, and it pops up all over the place.
Yes, I'm very familiar with those arguments. Of course, it's been a hotly debated issue in the legal arena. I'm familiar with it. Banks use it. For example, whenever you open up a bank account, and it does shut off your access to the courthouse, which is a significant right that people have. No question about it. But it doesn't mean that the dispute is not resolved. It is resolved by arbitration. In fact, our collective bargaining agreement.
Grace, I'm going to sign out again, but I'll back on the call afterwards. This is Andrea.
Sorry. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Our current arbitration, our current collective bargaining agreements, for example, call for arbitration of grievances. So,
right, but the unions pick up those fees.
Wendy Stack, please.
And, you know, the same thing with being out in the legal sphere. You get a lawyer, and if you can get a lawyer on a contingency, the lawyer picks up the fees. The same thing if you went to court instead of an arbitration. hearing, you either don't have the money and you don't support, or you find a lawyer who will front the fee.
Yeah,
so
the second possibility is not there for arbitration.
Leslie, please let Ricardo finish.
All right.
In my estimation, it's not an expense issue. It really is that gut issue of, well, you're closing off the door to the courthouse. Now, in this situation that we're in, I think that's somewhat of an abstract proposition because we have one case that I'm going to talk to you in executive session where we spent $500,000. One measly, lousy employment discrimination case. And that's one big reason why we have this cash shortage. Very practical way of resolving these outrageous expenses that we've been confronting as a result of our litigation and, for the most part, the management of the litigation.
I understand that.
Okay, Leslie,
I
have to move on to other people's questions. You had a question,
right,
too. And
can you read this, Doc?
Okay, so it's Rico and Bonnie is for Aunt Wendy.
Okay,
so
thank
now
you.
Now we're going to go on to Rico.
All right, can you hear me?
Point of order.
Yes.
Point of order. Hello? Point of order. Grace,
yes.
I came before Wendy, so how could Wendy go before me?
Okay, I'm sorry. I might have made an error. I'll put you Rico, Bonnie, Nia, and Wendy, okay?
I'll switch places with her if she wants.
That's fine. Nia, you want to go?
Thanks for your respect, Rico, but I'll wait. Much appreciated.
Okay, fine. Go ahead,
okay.
Rico.
Yeah, I've always felt when it comes to corporations, I really didn't like the idea of arbitration because I thought it was a way for them to get around something. But when it comes to nonprofits, it seems to be in line that we should that it would be something that makes sense. And I don't know, it just seems like with the problems we've had in the past, it seems like a no-brainer. I think Leslie did bring up some interesting things that maybe should be researched first. But I think it's a great idea, and I also think if need be, we should amend the bylaws to make it reflect that. However, I do believe that if we do this, it has to be something that is applicable to all, and that there aren't any, that it can't be a situation where some, it's applicable to some, and then others, because they're in a union or what have you, it doesn't affect. So I think it's a great idea, and I don't know why it hasn't come across sooner, and I think we should do whatever we can to try and make it happen. But first, I think we need to do, as Leslie said, more research to make sure that it is something that is fair and that's applicable to everybody.
Okay, thank you. Next we have Bonnie, and then Nia, and then Wendy.
Yeah, Rico just hit on a couple of my points, I think. Since it is very possible for a union staff member to become a member of the LSB and then the PNB, I don't quite understand what you would be saying in that case. And also, were we to actually move to voting on something tonight, I would be really uncomfortable with that because we haven't even seen any of this language. And I can't possibly judge it, nor could I look my attorney in the face if I were to go ahead and vote one way or another or agree to sign something or not agree to sign something without having taken it by her. I'm not quite sure I understood what you were saying. I understood what you were saying about the prospect of writing this up in employment agreements for future hires, but I was a little unclear. I think what you were saying is that you would also want to present this to current management with an incentive that they would be getting an employment deal that said that they were only removed for cause. Is that correct?
Well, let me go back to your first question. The board arbitration agreements would not be tied to an employment contract. It would just be a naked arbitration agreement, whether you sit on the PMB or the LSB. And it would not pertain to your employment because it pertains only to your actions as a board member.
Right.
The arbitration agreement with the employees would be an arbitration agreement specifically related to employment actions. And so if you're management at a radio station and you're also on the LSB, or rather if you're a union member at a radio station and a member of the LSB, even though you signed an arbitration agreement as a member of the LSB, it would not affect your rights under the collective bargaining agreement, which would include your right to go to court. Now, I forget, what was your next question, Bonnie?
Well, I'm kind of puzzled about this because I mean, I'm not sure if we're taking this toward voting on something tonight, but I don't see how we can.
Oh, yes, that was it.
None of it was any written information.
Yeah, I'm not asking you all to vote on it. This is a matter of first impression, I understand. I'm basically laying it on the table so that you all are aware of it as a body. And unless you guys have strong opposition to it, you know, we'll put something up for you to where you can have a considered judgment on it.
Thank you, Ricardo. Okay. Next is Mia.
Okay, thanks, Ricardo. Well, Bonnie asked the second part of my question, so I'll just go to my first one. When would this arbitration process be laid out? That's number one. And I guess when Bonnie asked, are we going to do anything tonight, I was under the same impression because Grace said that if someone wants to make a motion, so I thought there was a motion lurking out there somewhere.
Yeah, there could be a motion, hell no, in which case we drop it. Or there could be a motion for us to come back to you with what Bonnie's asking for.
Right.
But I'm not asking for you guys to approve entering into arbitration agreements or requiring it. Now, in terms of while we can't require our LSP or PMB members to sign arbitration agreements, we can require our non-collective bargaining agreement employees to do that. Now, there's a reason why we can do that, and that's the same reason why they're not members of the collective bargaining agreement, and that is because they're management and they're positions of trust. And so that's a reasonable distinction between people that would be required to sign arbitration agreements and people who would not be. So I don't see a problem with treating people differently in terms of the arbitration agreements, because that's the way we treat people differently all the time if they're members or non-members of the collective bargaining unit.
Ricardo, is this binding arbitration?
It would be a binding arbitration agreement, right? That's what we're looking at.
Okay. The next person on the stack is Wendy.
Okay. Lizette.
Yes. Okay. You'll be
okay.
After Wendy.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I really appreciate this conversation. I'd like to let you know, as a veteran member of the PNB, that it has come up two or three other times over the course of my terms here. It has never gotten to the point of having a real discussion about it, but there have been people on every side of every faction that have brought up the idea that employees, at least, that we have arbitration agreements rather than as each person leaves, they sue Pacifica on their way out the door. I'm not going to say that everyone has done that, but we don't have a lot of people that leave, so anyway, I want to mention that, or remind everyone that once you become a member of the Pacifica National Board, that you're, and well, and even on the LSB too, your loyalty is to the Pacifica Foundation, not to staff members individually or yourselves, your own right to sue the organization or anything like that. Our job is to protect Pacifica. And if you listen to what Ricardo said, he said our insurance policy is up for renewal, and that he's already been notified by our insurance company that they really don't understand this thing of Pacifica directors suing the organization that they are here to protect and to nurture. So we need to really get a grip. There is going to be no Pacifica Foundation to sue if we don't put some stop to some of these practices that are happening. And so I'm really, obviously, we're not ready to vote on anything tonight, and I would propose, I will move that we cut, that if there's something that the board needs to vote on, that we get a motion in writing. This is going to take a couple of months to get through. So I move that we bring any proposed arbitration agreements to the board in writing, and then yes, we do put forth bylaws amendments eventually, I think, if the board decides to go that way.
Second.
Whatever it takes, you have to protect the organization.
Second.
Okay, I'd like the indulgence of the board to just ask two questions of Ricardo for clarification, if that's all right with you all. And that's
there's a motion on the floor, Madam Chair. Is that in furtherance of that motion?
Okay. What is the motion exactly, Wendy?
Sorry, I was on mute. That we get a proposal in writing, I guess, from our attorney. Well, from, I don't know from who. You guys know from who.
Attorney for consideration by the board.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'd like to second that.
Okay, good. I have two questions that are very pertinent to this for Ricardo. The first thing is, when do we need to renew our insurance? That's number one. When's the deadline for that, the timeline for that? And number two, how do you feel that it will affect our insurance rates or our ability to get insurance, period? I think we need to know that as we move forward with this.
So we'll,
Ricardo, are you there? Did we lose you?
I'm sorry. There's no way of knowing until the insurance carrier tells us. I've spoken with our broker, who's the person that finds that deals with our insurance carrier on our behalf, and he's told me he has spoken with our insurance carrier, and that with respect to perhaps not covering board members, which would mean that board members would not have error and omissions policy or coverage because of the fact that some board members have historically sued. Basically themselves, where you have an insured suing another insured. And that's the only reason why I'm raising this issue of asking the board to sign arbitration agreements. It could mean the difference between losing our E&O coverage for board members or getting it. But we don't know until they tell us. Secondary to that is that it would reduce our expenses with respect to resolving board disputes. There are, I'm sure, legitimate board issues that come up involving our elections, for example, where board members have a legitimate reason to test action that's been taken or not taken by the board. Right now, the only way that it can be done is by going to court. If we can change that to arbitration, then it's much cheaper, and the dispute still gets resolved. And as far as the arbitrator you get, you never know what kind of a judge you're going to get, either.
Okay, and the other question, which is, when is our insurance up for renewal? And how would this affect our rates? I don't know about partially answered that, but
Grace, maybe LaVarne could tell us that.
LaVarne, do you know?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes, go ahead. We hear you, LaVarne. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this is fine. I can't tell you that, but I can give a call to Courtney. Brennan, first thing tomorrow morning, and he will let us know, and we can send it out.
Can you tell us what our rate is now, LaVarne?
I'm sorry?
Can you tell us what our rate is now?
No, I'm not even in my office in at BAI. I that information would be in the office. I don't have it in my files. I'm between and betwixt. So I can call Courtney in the morning.
All righty. So we will get the information to the board. We have a motion on the floor. I believe it's been seconded, and we'll have discussion on that. Sean, how much time do we have left on this agenda item?
4 minutes and 33 seconds.
Okay. So we'll open for discussion of this motion, Wendy's motion.
Yes.
Luzette, would you like to speak to this?
Yes, I will speak to it. I know it's a discussion that we ought to have to save us money, but I just wondered from Ricardo, how would he approach the union on this, number one? And number two, isn't there a step before arbitration? Do we not have mediation? And is there a possibility that we could try that as well or in addition to? I mean, instead of or in addition to?
The issue is what someone correctly called mandatory arbitration, which means you're required to go to arbitration, but the two parties can always agree to mediate the case. So that's always the possibility, whether there's a lawsuit or an arbitration. So it does not cut off the possibility to mediate a dispute, which is even better than an arbitration because then both parties agree.
Mm-hmm. And how would the union, how would you include the unions here?
Well, the union... The collective bargaining agreement is not an issue now. That's like a whole nother mouthful that, quite frankly, I don't even know that I understand it enough to be able to make a recommendation to you. And I'm certainly not ready to make a recommendation to you that the collective bargaining agreement be negotiated to include an arbitration clause, although, you know, that's certainly something that can be considered. At this point, what we want you to consider, which is a mouthful in itself, is the issue of an arbitration agreement for our management employees, which is the non-collective bargaining unit employees, and LSC and PNB members.
Okay.
Okay. I think we're probably at the end of time for this agenda item, so we need to... have Wendy restate the motion, please.
Madam Chair, this is Richard.
Yes.
May I read what I have since I have
sure.
written it down?
That's a good idea. Go ahead.
Wendy moved that any proposal about arbitration be brought to the PMB for approval.
Good. Is there any objection to Wendy's motion?
In writing.
In writing, Madam
in
Chair,
writing.
Was on there.
By our general counsel, obviously. Okay. Is there any objection to Wendy's motion? Okay, hearing none, that motion has been resolved. It's adopted by this board. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is to check and see if Les Radke is on the call.
No, he is not. Well, I'm saying no, he's not. I was not able to reach him, and I have attempted to call and sent him an email.
Thank you very much, Ifea. So we'll continue on with the committee reports. The first committee report is the coordinating committee report. Do you have anything to say, Wendy?
Oh, well, I just would like to remind the National Board in a more formal way to please book your flights as soon as possible.
we will be starting, you know, we expect to be interviewing candidates for ED position on Thursday. This would be Thursday.
Wrong.
Friday. Friday the 9th of October. So I would like board members all will need to arrive there on Thursday night. So we're going to be booking rooms for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights for PNB members. So everybody needs to hurry up and get their plane tickets. Like by Wednesday. Get your plane tickets by Wednesday. And we have found a place that looks too good to be true, so I'm going there on Tuesday to check it out first. And anyway, it all looks very good. We're going to have a event at KPFT on Friday night. Another KPFT LSB member wants to throw a party for the PNB on Saturday night. So we'll be able to have hopefully a productive time. And fun. We'll have some Southern hospitality going on here. I had another thing I wanted to mention to the board. Can't think of what it is. Please book your flights by Wednesday.
Thank you, Wendy. Can I ask you to please send a note out to the board tomorrow reminding them to book their flights, please?
I will. I'm going to send out the travel agent's information. I'm going to do that right now, actually. So everybody, please look in your email. You'll find the phone numbers for the travel agent and the email addresses.
Wendy?
A question
thank
for Wendy,
you. Thank you very much, Wendy.
Okay.
Can I ask you, I have a question.
Point of information. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, Bonnie.
Yeah.
I know that we're meeting, the coordinating committee's meeting tomorrow night.
Right.
I'm hoping that we will consider not starting the meeting too early on Friday, so that some of us, if possible, can fly in on Friday.
Just to answer that, I had thought that we would do the thing we've been doing, you know, where we start at noon. However, we have the additional business of interviewing candidates, and I'm not sure how many we'll be presented with by the personnel committee, but I think this needs to be approved, I guess, by the coordinating committee and the board, but we may have to start earlier on Friday morning. That's all I'm trying to say. Unless you want to have these meetings during time when the public thinks that they should be with the PNB. I don't know.
Just as a little bit of information, we may even have budgets that need to be finally approved if we can't get them done ahead of time. So this is going to be a very a real working PNB meeting, as far as I can tell.
It's also our last one of this year. But anyway, Bonnie, I hear you. I understand. I know you have a show on Thursday nights.
It's not entirely that. You know, I just think that only PNB member that finds 4 days kind of stretching it. So I just thought perhaps we could start, you know, mid-afternoon on Friday, and then people would be able to fly in on Friday morning and also save us hotel rooms.
Well, the one thing that's kind of good, when we have a meeting in Houston, at least the people on the coast only have to fly halfway across the country, so it's like a 4-hour or 3.5-hour flight or something as opposed to 5 or 6, so hopefully that'll be helpful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy. Next committee.
Somebody else had a question.
I wanted to ask a question.
Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, and Wendy, I don't know if you can answer this, and maybe somebody on personnel can. Where are we exactly in the personnel committee? How many candidates are we going to be interviewing, and are they from the first group who made the deadline, or are we going to include in that second group people who didn't make the deadline, so we extended the deadline?
Sean, I can tell you that they have a meeting at the same time as the coordinating committee tomorrow night.
Oh, boy.
The personnel committee meeting does. Theirs is executive session, so that's why we don't have common members, so that's why I scheduled our meeting at that time anyway. I think they're still working that out. They do, I believe, plan to have, you know, if they got some good, I never mind. I can't answer your question. I don't know. I do think that they will know more after their interviews tomorrow night.
Is David on the line?
Hello? What?
Is David there?
Well, you know,
yes, I'm here.
Yes, here. Oh, that's right. You know what, Sean? That's the answer. This is just the report for the coordinating committee. Personnel is after us. They're P and
B. Okay, yeah, but I thought Sandra wasn't here.
Well, let's leave that.
Sorry, thank you.
To the personnel committee report.
No, that's fine.
I have a question, please. What's your question?
Okay, who is that?
Wendy would remind people about the two airports and the preferences based on the meeting place.
I'll put it in the email, but Hobby Airport is closer to where the action is than Intercontinental.
Great.
Okay.
Okay. Next, before we move on, it's 6:11. We started this meeting around 4. And I'd like to ask a question of the board. Generally speaking, we have our open meeting be 2 hours in length, and then we go to the closed meeting. This meeting started a little early. Let's figure out a time certain for the ending of this meeting, and I'd like to ask George or anybody else who knows, do we have a time certain of 3 hours for every meeting, a special teleconference of the PNB, or are we allowed to extend it for longer than 3 hours?
My understanding is we did vote to have the time 3 hours altogether. That was intended to give the people on the East Coast a break, but that was the motion, as I understand it.
Wendy,
the point of order, Grace, since I wrote the motion, it's 3 hours midnight, whichever comes first. That was the motion.
Okay, so we conceivably could go a little bit more than 3 hours. Is that correct, Nia?
It's 3 hours or midnight, whichever comes first.
Oh, whichever comes first. Okay.
Great,
so,
Jamie.
We need to have this body decide, because we have a full agenda for the closed session tonight. We need the body to decide on an adjournment time for this open meeting.
Great.
Jamie?
Yes.
I heard Jamie on something.
Yeah, I believe if you get a two-thirds vote, we can make the meeting longer than 3 hours.
Okay.
For your information.
All right. So is that a motion you would like to put forward?
No.
No. Okay. Thank you for the information, Jamie. All right. We can either, since it's almost a quarter after 9 East Coast time, we can either adjourn the meeting now, have a time certain for adjournment, and then move to a closed session. We can extend time for our two meetings tonight, which would take a two-thirds vote. I mean, that's up to the will of the body, but we should decide this now before we use up too much time and
Madam Chair, I have a motion. Point of information.
Since
the Finance Committee report has been cut from 30 minutes to 10 minutes, can we at least complete the Finance Committee report?
It's not a point of information.
I'm asking a question. Thank you. Can we get the Finance Committee report in under the three-hour cutoff point? That's what I'm asking. Thank you, Sherry.
I'm sorry, I have a motion.
Okay, just to answer the question, we have a one-hour or one-hour and 10-minute closed session, in which case we would basically have to adjourn at now unless we wish to extend time or to cut the time for the closed session. Whatever it's the will of the body is
Madam
the will of the body.
Could I make a motion?
Sure.
I will move that we adjourn the public section of the meeting at 9:30 East Coast time, and that we go to executive session, and that we end executive session by 10:30 East Coast time.
Okay. Is there a second for that motion?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, we'll continue till 9:30 East Coast time. The next thing on the agenda is the Finance Committee report.
Okay, thank you, Grace. This is Jamie. Just to update you all real briefly, the Finance Committee has been trying to focus on our responsibility of reviewing budgets. As you know, we're supposed to have a budget for all the stations and the national office and a consolidated budget in place by the beginning of the fiscal year, which is October 1st. That's been our goal. However, we really, the way the process goes is the National Finance Committee doesn't really review or approve the budgets for the most part until they've been through the initial preparation by station management or national management and the review and approval by the LSB and with some review by the CFO and national office. So we kind of get it after it's been through a few steps. And really the only budget that we've received so far that's ready for us to review is the KPFT budget, which we reviewed last week. Fairly detailed review. We sent some queries back to management. We sent responses back, so I thank National Office, EFRIN, and the KPFT station management for that. We still need a revised KPFT budget in order for us to approve, so for you all to approve. But we have not received NFC-ready budgets for any of the other stations, and actually my understanding is budgets don't even exist for BAI and PFW and perhaps National Office. So this actually, the short story is the network is behind schedule on this. And without pointing fingers anything, I think part of the issue is the various management changes that have made at least three of the stations. And also I believe that the disruptions that the board suffered at the July PNB meeting also set us back in this process. So the upshot is, I don't know that we'll have anything. We were hoping to be able to approve the final stuff on the phone in late September, so the October PNB meeting would not be a budget meeting, but would be focused more on the personnel issues. But I don't see that that's going to happen. Also, we do have a finance meeting scheduled for this Tuesday. We've scheduled one for every Tuesday. By mistake, I labeled it a governance meeting on KPFTX, but it is a finance meeting. I'm tempted to cancel that meeting unless we get budgets ready to review by tomorrow. I have to say that as a volunteer board member, it's difficult to constantly plan for meetings and hope to get information to review and then not get it. So I believe what I will do is ask the NFC if they agree with this, then I'll go ahead and do it. If we get the documents tomorrow to review, then we'll have Tuesday's meeting. But if not, we'll hold off for a week until we have the stuff in hand. And let's see, the last point to bring to your attention, the KPFT budget, one of the issues in it, there was a repayment plan there were two repayment plans. One is for the $300,000 loan that Pacifica took out of the National Office Heath Endowment that this board approved. So that repayment plan is in the KPFT budget and should be in every budget. So that's where the funds are going to come from for that. That's in addition to central services. They're distributed based on, I believe, listener support or something along those lines. The larger stations would pay more. There was another repayment plan included in the budget, which was for the debt to national office incurred over the past few years by BAI and also KPFK not paying central services. NFC asked that this repayment plan be approved since it has not been approved by the Pacifica board. We didn't decide. There wasn't a lot of support for that plan on the NFC. We really didn't decide to go for it or not go for it, but we did ask that it not be included in the budget until it's approved by this body. So I believe that's all that I have to say.
Okay. Are there any questions for Jamie? All right. Hearing none, we'll go on to the next committee report, which is important. It's the Personnel Committee. It's going to be given by Dave Beaton. Are you here, Dave?
I am here, but I think that this report is to be given. I was asked to give this report in executive session, I think.
Oh, okay.
Would you like me to just paraphrase it carefully?
Yeah, that would be good. And then we can add it, I guess, whatever is confidential to the executive session if you feel that's necessary. But go ahead, carefully paraphrase it.
As of midnight, August 24th, the Personnel Committee received 17 new candidate resumes from the two-week posting period.
Okay, is that it, David?